Ephesians 2, and we're going to read this morning verses 19 through 22. So would you please stand with me? Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 19 through 22, the Word of God. In fact, let's back up a little bit to verse 17, just so we get a little context from last week. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 17, God's Word. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And God's people said, Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, isn't it? Looks to me like we're going to have a white Christmas. Nothing says Christmas to me like snow, right? I mean, having a white Christmas just kind of puts it all together. Think about all the things that are going on this week as we're coming up to Christmas Eve and Christmas. Having a white Christmas for me, just as a little kid watching the snow, and it's just the beautiful scene of Christmas morning with fresh laid snow. All these things we associate with Christmas: Christmas trees, Christmas lights, candles, presents, the lights that we have behind us, presents wrapped under a tree, shopping, Christmas carols. There's everywhere you go, there's music playing in the background. Christmas movies, it's time to watch. It's a Wonderful Life, probably my favorite movie of all time. White Christmas, and here's a little bit of movie trivia. Do you know that the first movie in which Bing Crosby sang White Christmas, it was not White Christmas, it was Holiday Inn, which is my second favorite Christmas movie. So all these things, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And yet, none of those things that I just named have anything to do with Christmas. None of them. Christmas tree, Christmas carols, the lights behind us, even manger scenes that we think of that are in our mind, lights, carols, all of those things, none of those things were part of the first Christmas. There was no snow at the first Christmas. There was no Christmas tree. There were no Christmas carols. There was no movie they were looking forward to. It was just a baby laid in a manger. It was a very quiet and humble scene. Yes, these are part of our cultural Christmas, and we can welcome them. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things. But it's important to frame those in terms of what Christmas is really all about, so that this week, well, we don't get so wrapped up in the trees and the songs and the candy and the baking and the presents and wrapping, all those things, fun as they are. Can we, should we, can't we focus and remember on the things that really have to do with Christmas? Jesus. Birth of a little baby. What are we really focusing on? What we're focusing on is our Advent theme, that peace has come. And peace has come. That's our theme for Advent, because in the Old Testament we saw that the prophecy was that the Prince of Peace would come. We've seen in Ephesians that he himself is our peace. Christ, the person of Christ, is our peace. We've seen that he came and preached peace to we who were far away. That's Gentiles. He came and he brought the good news to Gentiles. We were far away, and he preached peace, and he brought us near. In Luke, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Peace came that morning in the form of Jesus, he who himself is our peace. So what difference does it make? if we were far away and he brought us close and he brought us and made us together with Jews and Gentiles, one body, one new entity, one new man, what difference does that really make in our lives? What is the outcome for us in living beyond the Christmas season and in the Christmas season? The foundation of peace is what God is building his family and his church upon. He starts with this foundation of peace, and now that foundation of peace, he's building us, his family, his people, his building. And so we're going to look and see in verses 19 through 21 the outcome, you know, what does it all come to that peace has come? And the first thing we're going to see is that we are God's people. We didn't used to be, but we are now. We are God's people. Verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. And again, if you back up a little bit, he, that is Jesus, came and he preached peace to you who were far away, that is Gentiles, most of us are Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the Jews who had the law and they had the prophets and they had the covenants. For through him we both, all believers, have our access. We can all come in one spirit. There's only one way to the Lord, and that is through Jesus and by his Spirit, but we have access to the Father. Every one of us can come to the Father. We don't have to go through priests. We don't have to go through prophets. We don't have to go through the sacrificial system. We all have our one access together. Each and every one of us in this room can come to the Father. And so we are now God's people. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. He starts by saying, this is what you are no longer. You used to be that, but you're no longer that. This is not who we are. This tells us, looking back at verse 12, if you look over in your Bible, he says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And in verse 19, so then you are no longer that. You're no longer strangers and aliens, just in the same sense that you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but God, being rich in his mercy, made you alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This is what we are. We are God's people, and we have free and full access to God as those who have that citizenship. We're no longer what we were. Gentiles didn't become Jews, and Jews didn't become Gentiles. He made this new entity, this one new man, that is the body of Christ, the church, and that's what we are. And so we are God's people. You know, it used to be, and I think it probably is the case today to some extent. I know some of you were not born in the United States, and you became citizens through a process. Anybody here who that is true of? I know we do have some people. Okay. And I don't really, being born a citizen, I don't know what you went through, but I know that you have to learn certain things, and you have to do certain things, and then there's a ceremony where you become a citizen. And I've seen those ceremonies where people clap and they rejoice that now, once I was a stranger, I was a resident alien, I didn't have the Constitution of the United States, I didn't have all the rights and privileges of being an American citizen, but today I am. And there was great, great joy and celebration at becoming a citizen. And in the same way, we were resident aliens. Living in this world, on this earth, we didn't have the rights, we didn't have the privileges of being one of God's people. But now, we are. We are God's people. Fellow citizens with the saints. And he means here the saints of all times, not just the Jews, but back in the time of Abraham, and before that, Adam and Eve and all the those people, the patriarchs, every believer of all time, we are fellow citizens with the holy ones, the saints. All of us are one people, God's people, one people. So since we have been joined to Christ, we are joined together as one new man, the body of Christ, the church, and we are one. What's the peace part of it? Because we have peace with God, we are at peace with one another. At least we're supposed to be, right? We have been reconciled to God, and so we are reconciled to one another. We're all one body, and we have peace with one another. Now we'll come back to that later. So we're not only one people, but we are also God's family. We are God's people because we are no longer strangers and aliens. We are fellow citizens. We have all those rights and privileges. But we are also God's family. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. You know, we're big on family here at Valley Bible Church, and this is what he's speaking of. He said we all have one access to the Father. And we are of God's household. Our choosing, our adoption, our redemption. We now understand what all that means. We are now all part of the same family of God. You know, on Facebook, you can go on Facebook and there's a place that says, are you in a relationship? And someone who's in a new relationship, oh, everybody likes that because, yeah, I'm finally in a relationship. You're all in a relationship. Yes, you are in a relationship. Every single one of us, with Christ and therefore with one another. Because we are God's family, that makes us related. And because we are God's family, we're brothers and sisters. And because we're God's family, we have the same Father. Because we have been adopted and therefore we all have the rights and privileges of being part of His family. What are the rights and privileges of being a citizen and part of God's family? You can come to Him at any time and pray. Rich was talking about how important prayer is, and prayer has to be central to everything that we do. But we can, anytime, any day, like I like to say, prayer is the hardest thing that we can do, but it's the easiest thing you can do because you can pray anytime, anywhere. All you got to do is start talking to God. But for some reason, it becomes hard. It becomes a labor. It becomes a chore. It becomes drudgery instead of something that we enjoy doing. But we have that privilege of coming to the Father at any time, free and open fellowship and relationship with Him at any time. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So we have the privilege of being able to say no to sin and yes to holiness and yes to righteousness. We have that privilege. Not only that, but everybody wants to belong to something. Everyone has a longing for belonging, and you might belong to the Elks Club, and you might belong to the PTO, and you might belong to all sorts of groups on Facebook or social media, but belonging to Christ and Christ's family is the greatest belonging that there is. Every other sense of belonging, do you know that even gang members and people who join ISIS, why do they do that? They want to belong to something, and it's a faint echo of what was lost at the fall, that we are in relationship to God and relationship to one another, and sin comes in. And so people always looking to belong to something. You do. You belong to His family. You are all, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are His. We belong together. The local church. He was talking to the church at Ephesus. That means he's talking to us. The local church is the expression of the body of Christ, and you belong here. You belong here. That's why life groups are so important, because that's how we get to know one another and we share life. And Paul was speaking to this church and telling them, you are a family, and so are we. One of the things that I love about Valley Bible Church, and we've worked hard at this, and this is where we're at. We are truly a multi-generational church, and we will always seek to be that. We don't want to be a church where everybody has gray hairs, because then we're going to die. We don't want to be a church of 20-somethings and 30-somethings, because then we have no wisdom and we have no experience. The Valley Bible Church has elder fathers and elder mothers, and we have young ones, and we have people in between, and this is what church looks like. This is what a family looks like, right? A family isn't made up of everybody of the same age. That's not a family. That's a section of a family. But Valley Bible Church looks like what a family looks like, and I praise God for that. So we are God's people, and we are God's family. The third thing that we see are, we are God's building project. Yep. We are God's building project. Verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So he begins to change metaphors here. He said you are citizens, and then he said you are family members, and he changes to show how God is growing his family in much the same way that he builds a building. You are built, you have been built on the foundation of the apostles. The foundation of our family is solid. Because we are a Bible church, and the apostles and the prophets were those who brought the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God as they spoke the words of Jesus and they inscripturated them, that is, they wrote them down. We have a solid foundation of apostles and prophets. He's talking about New Testament prophets because he's talking about having built something that was new. And the thing that he built that was new, this new man, this new entity, was the body of Christ. And so he's talking about the New Testament prophets and the apostles. Remember Paul, how did he begin this whole book? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. By God's design, he sent apostles and prophets to build this foundation. I don't know much about building, but I know that in this time as well as now, you just don't go out and start building on dirt. You have to build a foundation. Those of you who are in construction, you know that. You lay a solid foundation, and the foundation of our family as the body of Christ, as Valley Bible Church, is solid. Because we found ourselves on the words of Christ through his prophets and apostles. And also, the cornerstone of our family is Jesus. We have a sure foundation and it's firm. But the cornerstone of our family is Jesus Christ himself. A cornerstone, things are done a little bit differently today. But in construction in those days, if they were going to build a block building out of stone, they would make a cornerstone with all the proper angles, and it would be manufactured in such a way that it was perfectly square, and they would lay that cornerstone, and then so you had the angle, and that wall is going to go that way, and this wall is going to be aligned this way, and going up it's going to be aligned this way, and that kept everything straight. Like our lives, we align ourselves with Christ. He himself, notice the emphasis here, he himself, Christ Jesus himself, being the cornerstone, the same kind of emphasis where he said earlier, he himself is our peace. This is the house that peace built. He's building this foundation on peace. He himself is our peace, and he himself is our cornerstone. The foundation is peace, and he's building on that. So peace is a feature of what God is doing here and doing in this world. And put another way, he's speaking of unity that peace builds to God's people. When we are at peace with him, we are at peace with one another, and so therefore we have unity. But he is the standard, therefore, by which we pattern and measure our lives. The cornerstone. He's solid, he's bedrock, but also we align ourselves with his righteousness, with his teaching, with his person, with everything that he is. We align ourselves with him. And the application for that is this. Since we are all measured by the same standard, which is Jesus, we shouldn't expect others to meet ours, which we unfortunately do. What is the standard? We should be thinking about us. You know, me. What, you know, how do I measure up to the standard of Christ? I don't. So what do? I glory in his grace. I appeal to his grace. I say, thank you, Lord, that you're not going to destroy me, that I don't continually, I continually fall short of your glory and your standard of perfection. And unfortunately, what we oftentimes do is we measure other people by our standards. We want them to fit what we think they should be and what we think they should be doing. every one of us and everything we do should be aligned and measured with Christ Jesus. And not my standard, not your standard. Therefore, you see, when we come to this place of grace, and we understand we don't meet that standard, then we can have peace with one another, can't we? Because I can say, you know what? I don't meet the standard, and you don't meet the standard. We're together in this thing. We're together in this project of peace, this building of grace. We are the same, and none of us has anything over another one, because we're all in grace. So therefore, we are to be at peace with one another. So we're building project, each and every one of us. By the way, a side note, we are embarking on a building project this next year. And Christ has to be the cornerstone of that building project too. It is spiritual work. It is the work of God. And as we build this building, we need to recognize that God is able to do far abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. It is not about money. It is about faith. It is about prayer. It is about righteousness. And as we build our new building, the first place that we need to start is prayer. In the first few months of 2016, you'll have an opportunity to hear about the project. You'll have an opportunity to be challenged to give to that project. But in the meantime, the most important thing that any of us can do is pray and ask for God's wisdom, because we have people, our elders are working in the background, our deacons are working in the background, we're talking to financial experts and architects, and we are not throwing this together haphazardly. We must pray and plan and proceed, right? But we can't proceed until we plan properly with integrity and with honesty and with prayer and with righteousness. So anyway, stay tuned. But pray. I challenge you to pray. God would lead us there. We are God's people. We are God's family. We are His building project. Finally, we see in verses 21 and 22, we are God's dwelling place. Verse 21 and 22, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We are God's abode. We are His house. We are the place that He lives. Here, us, people, His residence. We are His temple. In the Old Testament, a temple was built for what purpose? For the presence of God, to make Himself known. That was the Old Testament. And in the first Advent, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. God came to earth, and He dwelt among us in the form of Jesus Christ, the baby in a manger. It was about God coming to earth. Well, He went away, didn't He? He lived His life. He lived a holy life, a perfect life. He suffered and He died, but before He went away, He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Holy Spirit came. And you know where the Holy Spirit lives? Here in you all. Right now. That means Christ is here. This peace has come. We're not talking about some concept. We're talking about a reality. You get me here? He is here. This is where God lives in us individually and as a people. God is here. And it's not just some abstract theological truth. It is practical and it is real. God is here in us today. That should change the way we live and the way we treat one another and the way we do ministry, the way we pray. Everything that we do should be changed by the fact that God is in us. He lives in us. Notice He says we are being fitted together. We are being fitted together. He says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself, the cornerstone, in whom, that is in Christ, the whole building being fitted together. Means he skillfully puts people together, individuals. Each and every one of us are being fitted together. We're not haphazardly just thrown into Valley Bible Church. He fits us together on purpose, and he does so at his will. In God's building this house of peace, he doesn't just throw it together. He's got a plan. He's got a drawing. And he is the master craftsman. Jesus was a carpenter, for goodness sakes, wasn't he? And he's building us. He's building a household of people. I've mentioned before that we are doing some remodeling at our house, and we've got our bathrooms all messed up. And it's been amazing to me watching the craftsmen, Bruce and Greg and Bobby, working with the construction and electricity and plumbing and things that I don't know a lot about. But those guys know what they're doing. I don't. God knows what he's doing. And if I were to, if this project were left up to me, I would have been lost. One thing I did do yesterday for the first time was I laid tile. How hard could it be? I watched the video. Okay. Actually, Bruce helped me. And you know what about laying tile? Every single one of those tiles is made exactly the same size. Should be easy, right? Every single one is exactly the same size, and you put it down there, and there was one that was uneven, and I was telling Bruce about it. He said, if you got a problem with that not matching that much, you have a real problem. And I do, with perfectionism sometimes, and some things I do, some things I don't. But the point is this, you can take a bunch of tiles, and they're all exactly the same size, but God is the master craftsman because he takes all of you, you're all so different. None of us are the same. We're not cookie cutter people. We are all different, and this master craftsman takes all of us people together, every one of us, none of us the same, imperfect, irregular. We need to be chiseled off, and he puts us together in order, and he fits us together in some coherent and functional and beautiful way. That's what he does here. That's what he has done here. That is what he is doing here, because he is the master craftsman, fitting us, each and every one, together. And he's doing it. It says, you are being fitted together. You can be assured that he's working right now. Sometimes you think, God, where are you? I don't see the headlights coming up in the you know, to help me out in the road. Sometimes we pray and it doesn't seem like he's showing up. But you know what it says right here? It says, we are being fitted together. He's working right now. Sometimes he works in silence. Sometimes he works in suffering. Sometimes he screams at us. Sometimes people come into our lives, but we can be sure that he is working. He is working. And it says that we are growing into a holy temple in the Lord. A holy temple. Holiness means we are set aside. We are to be unique. We're to be different. We're not like to be like the other clubs in town. And the other things that we join and we belong to. This is a family. This is the temple. This is where God lives here in us. And we are to be holy, each and every one of us, distinct. That means living lives separate from sin and given to righteousness, always growing in holiness together, and we need one another to do that. And it's amazing to me, the people that I see in Valley Bible Church that live that holiness. Like Rich and Lois. Like Jane and Carl, like all those who have given their testimonies, people who face grave difficulties in their life, they fight cancer, they fight all sorts of things, and yet they serve with joy, and they're not sidetracked by Christmas trees and lights and snowmen and all those things. They focus upon what is truly important: holiness, righteousness, and truth. We shouldn't sweat the little things. We need to focus on the major things, which is living lives apart from sin and given to righteousness. We're being fitted together, but we're also being built together. A little bit different take in verse 22. In whom you also, and he's talking to the Gentiles there. You're part of this, Gentiles. He's also speaking to you. You are being built. That's the word, we get the word edification from this. We are being built up together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. He builds us up individually. He builds us up as a body, and this happens together. And in order to be built up, we have to be together. We must spend time together. This is not a group of individuals, every individual doing their own thing on their own time in their own way, but we're being built together. Notice the words together repeated. And that means we have to come alongside one another to encourage and to equip and to teach and to aid and to help. We have to do this ministry together. And this function of this building is the habitation of God. This is where God lives. Yes, he lives in the highest heavens, but he lives in his people. This is a different kind of building. You've got hotels, and you've got office buildings, and you've got hospitals and retail buildings, and every one of them have a different thing. And people even build churches, and we think, well, this is the place. No, this isn't the place. This is the place where God dwells. In each and every one of us. So, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. It's spiritual work. And it happens because the Spirit lives in us. You see the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in building us together into this building. So, you are here by design. You are here, each and every one of you, by design. It's no accident that you're here today. And it's amazing how in every church there's a complexion, a personality, a makeup of a church, and all are different because the master builder brings all these different people together and he makes this one thing that is different. And every church has its own personality, but everyone in here has a purpose. You have a gift, and your use of that gift makes the presence of God known by your giving of that time in ministry. God is known, and his presence is known by you. Second of all, you are a work in progress. We are a work in progress. Rich alluded to the verse, he who began a good work in me will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. He began a work in you, he will complete it. You are a work in progress. We are a work in progress, and we must remember that, because the more I'm at peace with my identity with Christ, that I understand that I'm a work in progress, the more at peace I am with you. You understand that? Because then we understand grace. When we appeal to grace, we must extend grace to others and to each other. And the only way to have peace with one another is to have that full understanding of our identity with Christ. But when we take our eyes off of that truth and we start thinking about ourselves and then we start imposing our standard upon other people, then peace doesn't come, does it? It eludes us because we start looking down and talking down and thinking down and meanly about others instead of accepting them in the Beloved. Which means we are therefore to be at peace with one another. So we must view each other as a work in progress. So in the Old Testament, God dwelt in the temple. His son Emmanuel came, God with us. He left and came back. The Spirit dwells in us. He's here. Where is he? Here. In here. And that gives us an incredible responsibility. Isaiah 52:7 says this, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, the gospel, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation As we live this life of peace, that peace has come, we are to announce that peace to the world. How does the world see that peace? Because it sees that we are at peace with one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the house that peace built and is building and will continue to build. He is our peace. He brought us near by his redemption. He lives in us to build us up to be like him, that the world might see him living in us and through us. Peace has come. Our responsibility is to tell others. Christmas Eve is an opportunity for us to do that, to bring your friends and your family and to bring them to hear about peace. Or if you don't come on Christmas Eve, to tell others about the peace that Christ has brought. This is news of happiness. This is good news of great joy that will be to all who believe in Christ, who is our peace. Thank you, Father, for coming into our lives through Christ, our Savior, and your Spirit who lives in us. May we live out that peace. Thank you, Lord, that you are building in us something new that is remarkable, something that is beautiful and wonderful. A house that peace is building. We give ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.